who are going to introduce themselves later. Chair, we in Hersiband have six campuses. We have a skills academy in Standerton and 15 training sites. And you'll see our campuses are flicking on the screen, and we added two later, Standerton and not Standerton, it's Balfour and Perdekop, which specializes on primary agriculture. Chair, just a brief management overview. We have an acting principal that was acting since the 1st of September 2017. The process to appoint the principal is underway, and we're waiting for the process from the minister. Our management outlook, we have the acting principal academic affairs, the acting registry, the deputy principal corp, and we do have campus managers with only two currently acting. I've spoken to the issue of the campuses we're having. In terms of the governance of the college, we are fully constituted. The minister appointed us the external members last year in April, and we got the concurrence from the department in October, and we've also appointed our donor member. So as council, we are satisfied, Chair, with the management of the college from the academic financial management side. We are fairly liquid from intergovernmental relations and stakeholder management. The principal is going to speak to these issues. Maybe as a precursor, that we are fortunate to have inherited a college that is highly performing, and ours is to sustain and build up from that performance. We have given a brief, abridged profile of the college council members. I'm not going to talk to each one of them. I think members have the presentations, but we're fortunate to have the former CFO of the TVET College, Mr. Lords, and we have two CEOs of CETAS, which is TETA and Services CETA. We have Dr. Baker as well, which is a retired academic serving in the council. The other members, we have the station manager of Crossley, Mr. Chauke. We have Mr. Totsotetsi. We have one external member from Sasol, which is Ms. Ndo. We have Mr. Menkis, advocate, Harvard, well, I'm not sure why they are referring to an advocate as Mr. And we have an external audit committee member. In terms of the financial controls, the college, like I indicated, is highly performing. As council, we've already considered and approved the strat plan. We've approved and submitted the APPN budget on time. We've reviewed all our policies. The policy environment is fully regulated. Reviewed the segregation of responsibilities, and we are in a process to revisit our charter after we have joined by new members. We've adopted a number of financial controls. We've spoken to the issue of the delegation of authority. We've reviewed the financial structure, and we've appointed a qualified and experienced financial manager with an external audit background. We have conducted a risk assessment, developed a risk register, and adopted a risk management process for business continuity. Amongst other things, what we have done to enforce our controls is the issue of the monthly bank records to detect any suspicious transactions, if any. Not that we are not satisfied, we are. The last slide, Chair, is that we have stopped the use of the electronic signature. We've conducted the reviews on financial discipline, audit on assets and fleet, and also the reviews on fraud and ethics. management. We had only one audit finding coming from our previous financial year, which was IT related. We've empowered the audit committee to actually help us to deal with that. We said to the principal she had to have to implement a stringent consequence management process to enforce accountability to a loss, to as lowest level, because at times junior officials will escape accountability. I'll skip the next slide and go to the next one and speak to the committees of council that we are having there, as depicted there. ESCO and finance is combined, chaired by myself. We have the audit and risk committee, chaired by the external member, the academic board. We have our SRC. We have a subcommittee on the conditions of service, chaired by an external member. We have an ICT committee, which will deal with our issues of innovation mainly. And we have a functioning Student Support Services Committee. Chair, can I then give to the acting principal to take us through the performance and the enrollment of the college, as it were?
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to the Honourable Chairperson of the committee and Honourable members, my colleagues and representatives from DHET, and ladies and gentlemen. Allow me to present the enrollment per campus to date. The college at the moment has NCV programs. On my slide today, you will see that we have targets and we have actuals. You see that per site, MLO, for example, we targeted 1,055 NCVs, so enrolled 1,045. So I'll focus on the totals. So the college is actually having 4,987 NCVs, and trimester one is an engineering program. We are having 1,637. Semester one is business studies. We have 1,812, and then the pre-vocational programs, which is your PLP, is a bridging program. We are having 116 students against a target of 100. I will move to the slide of our occupational programs and skills academy, where we have enrollment of different occupations and artisan programs. You'll see there that we are having furniture making, electricians, carpentry, bricklaying, all of those trades. And we have the CETAs or partners that are funding those particular programs. And on your extreme right, you've got the number of learners per program. So the two slides represent that, and it shows as well our partnership with industry as well. So we are having programs with Sasol, where the CETAs, CHITA, AgriCETA, and all of these CETAs are supporting us. The state of affairs at Gersibande TVET College, allow me to move to that slide. Student registration took place successfully across all our campuses from 13 January 2020. The college developed an enrollment plan and implemented as planned. Teaching and learning has commenced on all sides from 20 January to 2nd March 2020. And all students received learning materials. Evander campus experienced interruption from 30 January to 17 February, where we lost 2 weeks of teaching and learning due to taxi and bus conflict, where there was no transport for learners to come to college. From the 5th of March 2020, there were interruptions at MLO and Sibanese to campus due to NSFAS payment issues. This had an impact on our quarter one assessments, where we had to reschedule some of the assessments that we planned, but as we speak, teaching and learning is restored in those campuses. College officials visited NSFAS to resolve bursary payment issues on the 4th of March, 4th to the 6th of March, where they were assisted to unblock some blockages there. The college suspended two officials on the 21st of October 2019 on grounds of alleged fraud, and investigations are still underway. The college received an unqualified audit opinion 3 years in succession, even last year. So we are hoping for a positive outcome even this year, since the AG is on site. The team, the finance team in particular, is compiling annual financial statement to be reviewed by the internal auditors and presented to the audit committee and council before submission to AG and DH by 31st March 2020. The Department of Higher Education and Training approved 10 million for infrastructure and maintenance. SEM processes are underway. This particular project is for our rural campus, Sibane Sethu. The college is a center of specialization for millwright. The construction of the center has commenced in January. We are currently training students from our existing Skills Academy while we are waiting the launch of the new center. The construction of a new campus in Balfour has commenced. This is a DHET project. The college unveiled a new logo and new corporate colors on 13th November 2019. We also opened a driving academy for our transport and logistics students in Evander campus, so as part of the work readiness program. So it started in Evander. Khalsibande TVET College was recently nominated as a center of excellence in ICT. We believe that this will bring alignment to a vision of becoming a leading college brand in this dispensation of 4IR. The University of Pretoria has been tasked to conduct a program qualification mix research on behalf of Khalsibande TVET College, and the final report will be presented in March, though we have the draft at the moment. And the implementation or the recommendations will be implemented in 2021. This slide is just talking to the structure of teaching and learning. I will not focus much on it to say how many classes we have, what are we doing in terms of security. Each year the college, it's been a culture for many years that we build a house. It's a council project. So last year we handed over a house to a family in need in Don Donald. The students are part of the building of the house. The logo unveiling, we changed from the old logo because the old colors misrepresented what we stand for as a college. So we looked at reviewing the logo and it was approved. So that is a new face of Khalsibande TVET College. This slide is talking to the pictures of your driving academy with simulators, and 40 learners are already registered. They wrote their learners on Monday yesterday, so we'll hear if they manage to pass. The college launched a GSC for Me mobile app that assists students in terms of getting their results. It's basically the student portal that the college always had on Kupula. We were using a Google Gateway, so now we converted it into an app so the students can be able to download and register online wherever they are. State of affairs concerning NSFAS. We enrolled 4,967 learners. And 3,145 learners were declared at NSFAS for NCV program, and 39 million was declared for tuition, 55 million for allowances, and 2,165 learners received payment for tuition fees at NSFAS through NSFAS. But for allowances, only learners worth 8.6 million were paid for NSFAS. For semester one as well and trimester one, we've got the numbers there. The SRC will talk to this slide. Allow me not to dwell much on it since they'll be sharing the same. The college has got a digital app that it won't open because it's not downloaded on this laptop. It's a small video. Is showing the application in terms of attendance. I don't know what we can do to make it work here. It's an app that assists you on student attendance so we can be able to implement our policies well. So now the lecturer can be able to mark an attendance register on that app on the phone. So, and the student a rep will be able to sign in, because at the moment as the college we're using it manually, so we cannot submit those numbers and we cannot comply with our 80% attendance. I'm sorry about this slide that cannot play now. And then I've put as well here the subject pass rate for the college from 2015. The college has improved from 89% in terms of student performance, and we are sitting at 91%. So our target for 2020, we are hoping to reach 93% in terms of student performance. When we look at the rankings, we are placed at number 3 in South Africa in terms of the NCV results. So these are the slides or the graphs that depicts the performance per site. You will see that for our 2019 November exam, Standerton campus is our top performing campus. This slide is speaking to the progression rate, which is the number of students that were certificated in 2019. So we are sitting at 79%. It means these kids, they've passed 7 out of 7. So the same slide is for business studies, which is our semester 2. We are sitting at 91% performance, which is regarded as first in the country. Same as semester 2, we are sitting at 85%, which is regarded the first in the country. So we are grateful for our students. Report 191 Engineering Studies, for trimester 3, the performance of the college overall, we are sitting at 70%, which places the college at number 8 in the country. Then the progression rate for engineering, it means 51% of the college students or for the T3 are certificated. So this slide is a representation of learners that we place in the workplace. You'll see that in 2015, we had a target of 1,800 and 2,603 learners were placed in the workplace. So I'll just go to 2019. 2,500 was the target, and we placed 2,260 students in the workplace. The college has got a maritime project that we started, we launched, then we did a career day last year. So it serves as an enrichment program for our artisans that they can be able to be employable in coastal areas as well. So here is our lecturers that were attending training in Cape Town. So they got some certificates and accreditation. So I thought you would like to see the pictures of our lecturers.
Thank you very much for that.
Allow me to thank you.
Honourable Chair, just a short one. I forgot to, my apology, to introduce our regional manager, CFO support, Dr. Nick Balkrishan.
Okay.
Thank you.
He's from DHET.
Yes, he's from DHET.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much for the presentation. It looks a bit impressive. I don't know about the other members. The leadership of the students. So the SRC, we will get a presentation from Mr. Ngwenya, the president. Okay, over to you. Just be mindful of time. You press, switch on the mic somewhere. All right.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the session, for granting us such opportunity to raise student issues. Here with me, I'm having my secretary, who is Ncube Ntuthuzo, and my name is Nkosinathi Patrick Ngwenya, SRC President of Harshibande TVET College. As per the invitation alluded that we should we are invited to raise issues of the student, specifically looking in 2020 registration and enrollment, disbursement of NSFAS bursaries, accommodation of student, and of course teaching and learning. Firstly, I would like to present on how the elections of SSC were conducted. Of course, they were democratically. So, as the screen displays, members who were elected for SRC of Gerstenbande TVET College. Issues we are having in terms of registration and enrollment. Firstly, I would like to acknowledge that from where we are sitting, our college is able to offer a registration and enrollment process that is effective. But then, we are having an issues in terms of long-term process of registration. Looking in test one or in term one, that is where we are having a lot of our students performing poor. Due to that, the process of registration and enrollment end up taking a lot of time, even that of classes. So it causes lecturers not covering all the topics needed to be covered for test one. So this highly causes our students to perform more poor. So as the recommendation, we are urging that the comment of registration and enrollment should start early so that our students are in a place of having more time to study or to prepare themselves for test one. As I pass to the next slide, it's enrollment target, so I won't dwell much as my acting principal has already touched enrollment target per campus. Teaching and learning. As much as it is said that our college is one of the best performing colleges across the country or in South Africa, this does not mean we are not having challenges in terms of teaching and learning. Starting by the shortage of classes, all of us gathered here, I believe that we know that in terms of student, for student to perform better academically, of course I need the resources. So as from where we are sitting in our college, the shortage of classes and venues for our student is a crisis. Because a question is of to say, how do you enroll or register student that you won't be able to accommodate them in terms of having venues for teaching and learning? That is why we end up finding student not attending classes, and that thing is caused by such a crisis or such challenge. Not enough practicals for our student. As student leadership, we have discovered that the practicals offered to our student, they are not enough. As I believe that what is put on my mind, I must be able to take it into practical. So we at some point we find ourselves in a challenge of to say, whenever our students are to graduate or migrate out of our colleges into working environment, they find it a problem or a challenge to work just because they are not much inclined with practicals. So as for the recommendation, we recommend that practicals are given to our student can be more so that they are well inclined with what is happening in the working environment. Not having enough computer labs. In terms of computer lab, this is the issue that we've been stressing and emphasizing in our college, that we are having subjects that are specifically based on only in computers. So when we are to sit for our external examination and even internal examination, our students come across challenges whereby they won't be able to complete their exam due to that our computers are having problems. So in the house, I would like to bring it in the attention of the house that such problems are considered and be addressed as soon as they can be addressed. Recommendation as of to say, computers must be regularly maintained, and where there is a need, also procure more computers. Because I believe that if ever in each and every college, computers can be calibrated each monthly or after 3 months, we would be able to address such issue. As I move, relevant of courses to the community and industry need. We are of the view of to say the courses that are offered by our colleges, looking at TVET sector, they are outdated, as my colleagues have alluded. They are outdated. They are not now in demand. So we recommend that new courses are implemented, courses that would speak to the environment of South Africa. Because we cannot be having programs that would be offered to our student only to find that at the end of the day our student are struggling in terms of finding jobs. That means as a government or Department of Higher Education, we are saying students should study, and then after studying they should go back home and sit. And then so where is transparency there? Supplementary student having to write two subjects in a day. In terms of such issues, our supplementing student find it very difficult to cope under such a circumstance. Having to write two subjects one day is more pressurizing our student. So a question is of to say, why our supplementary student treated as if they are not important? So a recommendation will be of to say, can we please at least allow supplementing student to write at least one subject per day as I move?
As you move, you've got 3 minutes.
Disbursement of NSFAS bursaries. NSFAS officials and they are present in FSC meeting, basically looking at our college. A new system is being introduced, of which it's wallet system. Looking at this system, we are having a lot of challenges, technical challenges, that need to be addressed by NSFAS officials. So it is of paramount importance that in each and every meeting that we sit, NSFAS officials are present. As per the guidelines of NSFAS, clearly state that there should be a deployee from NSFAS who is present in each and every meeting that we sit, FSC meeting that we sit, where it is necessary. Outstanding document. This is a challenge because it end up causing the delayment of paying our student. You find that whenever students are tracking their funding in NSFAS portal, it displays that there's an outstanding document. So there, we don't understand, because us as students, we do submit all the documents manually into the college. So we find it very difficult to accept that there is an outstanding document that I must submit, whereas I've already submitted all the documents. So as a recommendation of to say, we maybe if NSFAS can introduce a system that will even allow TVET sector as universities, TVET sector to apply or to upload all of the documents requested by NSFAS online. It's the delay in payment of allowances. It's an issue we've been emphasizing yearly. The delay of payment of allowances is causing our students to drop out. From where we are sitting, as we are speaking, it's too early. It's too early to have such number of students dropping out, specifically at Kharsibande TVET College. We are having a number of students who have recently dropped out due to the delayment of payment. So then we recommend that each and every college should maybe have a strategy or a way of assisting students with allowances to pay for their rent whilst they are still waiting for the payment of NSFAS, because we clearly understand that the process of paying student NSFAS is really taking too much time. A delayment of funding decision. As we are speaking, it's March now. We are having students who don't know if ever they are funded or not funded, specifically looking at T1 student engineering. They are about to write their internal and then after that it's external. These students, even now, they don't know if ever they are funded or no or not funded. So we request that funding decisions should be taken earlier and sent to the colleges, even to the student if it's possible, so that they are aware whether they have to appeal or not. My NSFAS portal, as I've alluded much about the presence of NSFAS of officials in our FAC meeting, we are having technical challenges in my NSFAS portal since the system of e-wallet is introduced, is new to our college. We are having a lot of challenges there. So NSFAS themselves, the officials should be responsible in terms of rectifying such issues.
Okay. Thank you very much. Your time has expired. Let's get NSFAS to present. You had 10 minutes. I said I'm going to be very strict with time. So if you take 5 minutes on one point, you must know that you are not going to be able to cover all the points.
So maybe
thank you, the
please just talk about student accommodation, then we'll send the podium.
We will read it. We've got it in the package. Thank you very much.
So
President, learn to be, you know, to feed your things on time. 10 minutes is finished. We don't have time. Thank you very much. I did say when I started, I'm going to be very strict because we don't have time. If you are allocated 10 minutes, you must use 10 minutes, unfortunately. Or maybe I must repeat it for out the third, the fourth time. Okay. So, NSFAS, you have been allocated how many minutes? 15. So basically it's 5 per institution, just to explain, maybe give us the overview and, yeah. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to yourself and to the honorable members. My name is Sam Zung. I'm the advisor to the administrator on TVET matters. With me is Ms. Vyogas Mafeliga. She's the general manager, specifically responsible for the TVET sector for the very first time in the history of NSFAS, that we now have a dedicated unit and a team that is addressing the TVET-related matters. She will do the presentation as per individual institutions that are here, but also provide a broad executive summary of where we stand in terms of the progress as far as payments to institutions are concerned. But before I give it to her, I just want to say the issues that have been highlighted already, which seems to create bottlenecks around the delays in payments, relate specifically to some of what the student leaders have highlighted. The issue of walk-ins, we have engaged with the student principals or college principals as of yesterday and the department to find a solution to say how do we speed up the process of making sure that we do early registrations, because it got some delaying issues. The ICT as well, we have met with the ICT teams. from individual institutions to talk about the bottlenecks that are created in terms of loading data for us to make funding decisions as NSFAS. The issue of resulting and progression, we had a team yesterday from DHET as well as college principal organizations and from NSFAS that is going to talk into the issue of resulting, because it also creates delays in NSFAS making funding decisions. And lastly, Chair, the issues around accessing funds, because the majority of the colleges have already received funds and the students, it's about accessing them now. The measures that have been put in place to ensure that we cap the fraudulent activities where students end up losing their monies, that's what is creating the challenges, because once they change their cell phone numbers, it flags it as a fraudulent activity, and that's why it denies them access to get those funds. So what we then be requesting the students is to re-register on my NSFAS portal so that they can be on the new system for them not to be exposed into those fraudulent activities. Thank you, Chair. May I hand over to Ms. Mafilika.
Okay.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members and to everyone in the House. I'm just quickly going to speak around the payments, but I think it's important that I outline the process that we take as NSFAS, particularly for TVET colleges, because it is a bit different to how we do it when it comes to universities. So when it comes to the payment of students' allowances in the TVET space, first, the student must be funded. And I really liked the student from Khatsibande in terms of understanding that the student need to be funded. There's always a misconception that when institutions submit registrations that we must pay those students, but we can't pay a student that is not funded in terms of our system, and therefore we must also match the student's registration successfully to their funded status before we can disperse any payments to the students. So that's the first step. So we opened up our registration period to accept registrations from institutions from the 31st of January. And every week we've been paying as NSFAS to students that are funded that we are matching their registration successfully. I think it has been highlighted in the House here as well that there's been delays in the registration process at institutional level. So that means that as and when they load more registrations, it's on the basis of that registration and us matching that registration to the funding that we are dispersing to the students. Ideally, as NSFAS, we should be dispersing once a month, but because we understand the volatility of the period between January and February in terms of registrations, we've really activated our payment processes such that we pay on a weekly basis to catch up those students that are funded, where we conclude funding decisions, who are subsequently loaded by institutions. And that gives us a spec in terms of who we are paying. I just quickly looked in terms of the wallet payments, and I really want to stress this. So what's happening is that when we pay through the wallet system, we rely on a student's cell phone number. Now that student has to go and activate that cell phone number on their wallet in order for them to withdraw their funds. I take note of the recommendation that came from Khasibane. In fact, we have sent our people because there is a technical element in terms of how students are transactioned to retrieve the funds. Some students struggle to activate their account so that they can be able to retrieve the funds. So then some students will say that they are not paid whereas the money is actually on their wallet. Another issue is when it's failing on our side, where we pay the money to the students, but the records show that it's failing. I mean, if I look at Khasibane now cumulatively, there's on average about 497 students that are failing when we are paying, but through the cell phone system, those students' numbers are not activated. So what we do after each disbursement run, we give a report back to the institutions with the ID numbers of the affected students, and we encourage them to say, can you please locate these students so that they can go to my NSFAS portal in order for them to reactivate their cell phone numbers so that they can be able to receive their funding. We have also noted these technicalities around wallet in particular. We have also engaged with the department to have a joint SRC workshop so that students can be able to understand the NSFAS processes in terms of payment and who qualifies for payment, but also when it comes to wallet in particular, what do they need to do when their accounts have failed? We have issued our guidelines in terms of this, but we've also seen the information gap in terms of them actually transacting and be able to retrieve their monies. Now, if you look at the presentation slide, it gives an indication in terms of what we have paid to date. So the department makes an allocation, and I think if you look, I'm not sure if it's very visible, But if you look at the breakdown in terms of the allocation, we just made a comparison in terms of the TVET allocation and also in terms of the university's allocation. From an allocation perspective, we've already dispersed 18% of our allocation. We are in month three, so we are dispersing on a monthly basis to the students who are qualifying and that we have received registration for. And that gives an indication in terms of what we've done and the walking steps in terms of what we have processed so far. I won't go into a detail. But if you look at the orange slide that speaks to the registration information, it shows you the number of students that are provisionally funded in terms of NFS. It will show you the registrations that we have received from the institutions, and it's only on the basis of those registrations received that we are able to match the payment that we make to the institutions. Some students will never go back to those institutions, especially those who apply online, because they might say, I want to go to this particular college but only end up in another college. But we are doing that match, and we give this report on a weekly basis to institutions to say, this is the number of funded students, please make sure that you load the registration information for them so that we can be able to make the payment. If you're looking at the 2020 detailed payment, in fact, there are not 33 but 32 institutions that are on wallet. We took over Tshwane South, Tshwane North in towards the end of February when the college requested us to take over because of challenges in dispersing their allowances to the students. But the first upfront payment we made to the college, we said that they must pay all of that money to the students and will only take up from the time that they're requesting us, which is March, moving forward. And we purely did this from an accounting perspective so that we can be able to fully account for all those students that we are paying on our behalf. So to date, you can see the number of students that we have dispersed to, the number of students affected that we have dispersed to, and as I said, the number is increasing because we are dispersing on a weekly basis to catch up with the registration information that we are getting on a weekly and a daily basis. I will not go into the detail, but I think the detailed summary is there in terms of what we have paid out and where students who are especially on wallet are not receiving it should be able to see why they are failing and update their cell phone numbers. If you're looking at the wallet institutions, we are also indicating what we have dispersed in terms of allowances and also in terms of tuition. Maybe I must add, in terms of tuition, colleges get an allocation. However, in terms of allowances, they do not get specific allocations. So what we did as an upfront, we calculated 20% of the allocation that they got from the department, and we gave that to all colleges as an upfront payment to assist them with their cash flow purposes, but also where they've got funded students that is taking a lot for the registration to come through to us that they can pay those students upfront, especially for your F&B institutions. So that gives you an indication in terms of the students that we have received, that we have dispersed to, but also noting the dependency that is mainly driven by the reg that we are receiving from the institutions. I think that's just a satellite in terms of what's happening. If you look at Central Johannesburg in particular, we've received registrations for 2,863 students. We are still saying we've got 535 registrations that we have not yet received from the college, and this is purely based on who's financially eligible in terms of who's assigned to that college. It might not necessarily match in terms of the actual registrations of the students in that particular institution. It also highlights the amount that we have paid to date to the particular college. We also provide a reflection in terms of the applications that we have received from the college and how much of that has actually been processed. If you look at... If I take you to the orange slide, and I think this illustrates better the point that I was talking about, you have 3,300 students who are financially eligible. We've received reg for only 2,863 students, and then we give you the breakdown detail there in terms of how many payments we've made, on what dates the payments were made, the amount. I mean, this just gives the amount, but if you look at my previous slide, it gives you the actual numbers in terms of the students and whether we're paying via wallet and whether we're paying via F&B. I think I must speak to the issue of outstanding documents. This was raised by one of the student leaders. So when a student applies online, what we do is we match what the student declares. So if the student says that my parent is Vuyokazi Mafilika, as an example, and then when we do the DHA verification and we find that there's something different, you might have put in the details of whoever you said was your mom, but if that differs with what we are picking up from a verification system, we will flag it. And then we will want supporting documents to verify why you indicated this is the person that you're declaring and why this is the problem. So there's certain instances where we'll have categories of outstanding documents on the basis that we cannot complete the application and the funding decision without us getting that that document that we require in order for us to physically verify that what is being declared by the student is indeed what has been when we've done the substantiation. So most of the challenges around supporting documents is specifically in terms of that, and we really encourage students to give us the correct documentation for us to speedily resolve the solution. We've also opened up on the portal that the students can be able to upload the supporting documents so that we can be able to process their applications. We do channel students mainly to the MyNSFAS portal because that is their first point of call first to understand whether or not they are funded, to understand what is missing in terms of their document, so that we can be able to, is our communication engagement or platform as NSFAS between ourselves and the students. Although Nkangala was not part of the presentation, we added it as part of the presentation, and maybe Mr. Zungu will speak to that later on. But if you go to Khetsibande, I don't know if I still need to speak to the numbers, but the same logic is the same in terms of what happened with CJC, where we're taking account in terms of what we've paid to date, the duplicates that we're finding in terms of students, the number of outstanding documents, and the non-qualifying students that we're getting. But I think the principle that we want to stress is the fact that we pay students who are funded, that we've matched in terms of REG successfully. We've also picked up students that we've received REG successfully, but we've put it in our exception buckets because they are duplicated with other institutions. That is our biggest bucket, where you'll find one student registered in this institution but also claimed by this other institution. We block those students until we resolve which institution is the rightful institution that is supposed to claim the student. And there's a certain process that we follow when it comes to duplicate. And those students we also block. Those are the ones that we don't pay, because until we resolve which institution they're supposed to be matched to successfully.
Okay. Chair, just to touch on the additional information that she's talking to Nkangala, the reason for us to add it there, because it was flagged on the media that there were students that were kept outside of the institution. Students that came at 7 p.m. And they were protesting in terms of not being paid allowances for them to be able to pay for their private accommodation. But what happened there is that they stayed for 1 hour. They took pictures, and having taken the pictures, then they flighted them on social media to say, we slept here the entire night, and then they walked away. So those are some of the instances that we deal with, but we are managing it. But on in terms of our records, if you look at the reg received and linked from the NSFAS side, we are up to date in terms of our payments, as the GM has already indicated that We have now gone beyond the call of duty and say we are not going to go according to scheduled payments. We are going to say as and when data is received and linked, we will then process those payments on a weekly basis, just to accommodate and also deal with the volatility that is on the ground. But in addition, Chair, the issues that the students are experiencing in accessing the funds that have been transferred, again, we are handling that matter to say they must re-register on my NSFAS portal. We have heard the technical issues that in as far as them re-registering on my portal, they're still experiencing problems. We've opened the communication lines with the South African College Principal Organization to say those cases, if they can be brought to our attention, we can then deal with specific issues instead of saying the majority of our students, and we don't get the full detail as to who are the students that are affected. And I think that is the matter we discussed yesterday with the DDG at DHET as well as SACPO, to say let us deal with specific issues and address them rather than saying majority of our students. So lastly, Chair, I think one of the major issues is these late registrations. It's not just a disruption in making funding decisions, but it's also, I think one of the student leaders highlighted, it also affects the academic performance of the students. Those who are on trimester, because you are there, basically you have to get the content in the 3 months period and then you must sit for examination. So if you look at the teaching and learning from now, these students who are doing engineering programs, N1 to N3, they must now sit for examinations, but they've been out because the majority of them, they first go and try their luck with universities, and if they don't make it, then they go come back to the TVET sector. So we need to set up time frames when the registrations are opened, when are they closing, so that at NSFAS as well, we can be able to make those funding decisions. But if there's delays in registrations, there's no way that NSFAS can make those funding decisions. But we are also saying from the returning students, the issue of resulting and progression, and we are happy that we are making progress where we resolved together with DHET that decision has now to come from the institutions themselves or the colleges to say these students will progress to the next level so that as NSFAS we can make a funding decision. Unlike in the past where we rely on the results from the department and then they have a sweeping process that also takes long, and by the time we are now ready to make funding decisions, students are already protesting on the road because they have not been funded or we've not been able to make funding decisions. But I think we are making progress in that regard, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much for the explanation. It also helps us, you know, to understand the processes of NSFAS. So those are the issues, members. It does look like, from where I'm sitting, there are a bit of challenges, not bit, serious challenges at the Tshwane North TVET College, which we must collectively find answers or resolution to those problems. The student leadership and management are at two extreme poles. There are serious problems there. The SRC has been suspended by management. I don't know why management decides to suspend or to put an end to the life of the SRC without facilitating fresh elections. If the mandate has come to an end to facilitate the elections, the new leadership gets elected because it is the duty of management to conduct SRC elections. So if you issue a notice to say you are former, you are no longer, it means that you want to create a vacuum. And why would you create a vacuum? Because you are the responsible party. So you can see that. Well, I'm sure that the questions will be answered. But you can see that the situation, the hostility does not just emerge from Norway. It is how the situation is created that allows for hostilities to emerge, because we are no longer engaging. And that is my problem. Before we even get to the other issues, the problem is that is how the leadership of the student is treated. SRC policy gets imposed and this and that. Yeah, but I'm going to open up to members. I think the other thing, maybe because I am going to leave at around 12:30 to go to attend to another meeting. So I would also just raise some of the concerns that I have, or the issues that I have. I think the issue of the suspension and the reinstatement, or the dismissal and the reinstatement, how the principal has placed it on the table, I don't think it was in a very elegant way. I think that we should have been given a bit of background to say the matter started here, because it's not a simple issue, it's quite a serious. It started from here, probably not by the principal. I think it should have been done by the chair, to say that there was a dispute and then a suspension or DC, it resulted in this, and this is what has happened, and what are the issues. If you can't do it in 30 minutes, you can prepare as a separate pack to say, this is the report around this situation, so that you don't wait for us to ask a question. Reinstatement, just one line, reinstatement. And then the students come in to fill in the other parts. It may be incorrect representation, may be correct representation, we don't know. But the fact that you are not being candid with us, for me, creates a problem. And maybe just to find, what is the situation now? Is it still closed, the college? What is the intention of management to facilitate for its reopening if it is closed? And what do you intend to do to harmonize the relationship with the student leadership? Because you can pick up in Gertsibanda, there are no problems between management and student. The students are raising legitimate issues, which are almost like you would find in many other institutions like Central Johannesburg. Is it Johannesburg Central or Central Johannesburg, where generally there are no issues with the administrator. It looks like the administrator is making some progress. So I don't want to take everything from the members, but those are just my observations. So I will start from Honorable Nodada, come this way, Honorable Gates, Honorable Mananiso, Mams Bia, and Honorable Yabo, and Honorable Litsio.